Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 190 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I guess I actually want to welcome myself back to the podcast. I know it's been a few weeks. I'm sorry about that. I was kind of on a working vacation and then a vacation, and everything and nothing has happened since I've been gone. So as many of you know from my posts on Facebook and Instagram, and I hope you're following me there, Facebook at Alonzo Bowden, Instagram ZoFunny, ZoFunny. I was in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival for 3 weeks. They tell me I did a record number of shows. I think I did like 31 shows. I don't know, but I was on the very first show at a festival. I was the very first comic on at the festival in hosting the ethnic show, which starts 2 weeks before the main festival. And then I was the last comic on stage with the Montreal Intervention Gala, which was the Monday after the close of the festival. So that's kind of fun. I bookended it, and I love it. It's one of my favorite things in comedy. I love the city of Montreal. I cannot tell you enough. If you haven't been there, you have to go. Old Montreal is European. Downtown Montreal is like any modern, incredibly cool city. Mount Royal, the park, hiking up the mountain from which you can see all of the city. It's fantastic. It's a walking city. You can just walk around literally for hours and see different things in different parts of the city. And the culture is fantastic. Museums, art galleries, and all of that. If you like shopping, there's boutiques. There's always a festival. All summer long, there's some festival going on in Montreal, whether it be Formula One Grand Prix or a world-class jazz festival or the comedy festival, and on and on and on. It is fantastic. So I was up there for 3 weeks, and I also got to see our beautiful country from the outside looking in. And let me tell you something, we're fun to watch. The Mooch, I was in Montreal for the Mooch's entire political career. Yeah, Saramuccio, whatever the hell his name is. I like the Mooch. We'll call him the Mooch. He came in as communications director, cursed out everyone, told Steve Bannon he should be sucking his own dick, and then got fired. It was like having a summer job at the Gap. What'd you do this summer? Well, I worked at the Gap, but the boss didn't like me, so I got fired. That's Saramucci's political career. And in Canada, they watch it like it's a reality show. They know the whole cast of characters from Spicer to Bannon to Carson to DeVos to, you know, it's on every day, like an update in stupidity. It's comical and embarrassing that this is our government. Listen, I said it when I was up there. Most Americans don't know that Trudeau is the Prime Minister of Canada. Half of America probably doesn't even know Canada has a Prime Minister. I don't know what they think they have. I think they still think the Queen is running it. Maybe she is. I don't know. But they know every clown we have in our government. They watch us and they laugh. I was up in Canada during the healthcare vote. What the hell happened with the healthcare vote? You try to explain this to people who have a healthcare system, right? And just say, well, we have a healthcare system. It's not single payer. It's not government run, but it's government. The government supports it and mandated it. We call it Obamacare. And then the Republicans wanted to repeal it and replace it with a horrible plan called Trump Care, which would uninsure millions, but that didn't pass. So then they tried to pass another one that just said, well, we're going to undo what we have without replacing it with anything. Are you still with me, Canada? Canada, come back. Hey, I'm still trying to explain. Now the vote that shut down the whole shutdown of healthcare. Yeah, I said it, the shutdown of the shutdown, because hell, I can't explain this shit. The vote came from a senator who's had a brain tumor and his medical care was covered and paid for by the government, which shouldn't be involved in medical care. Did you hear? Did you catch that? Yeah, John McCain, God bless him. The guy's, I don't even know how old he is. I met him in 2011 in Iraq. He was too old then. All respect to his service to the country. Retire at some point. You got to let it go. I don't know. You cannot explain this to reasonable people. That's the thing. That was a problem in Canada. Trying to explain this to reasonable people is all but impossible. They can't keep a straight face. They honestly thought, well, you're a comedian, so you're making this up, right? This didn't actually happen. Yeah, it did. And we watch it on TV every day. I love Canada. You know that if you know me. Two things keep me from moving. One, Canadian winters. God bless you, Canada, but that winter is brutal. I happen to like riding motorcycles in warm weather. Well, that would be both things right there. Motorcycles and warm weather keep me in California. Also, I'm kind of safe here in the Republic of California. Rest of America, getting a little dangerous. The other part of my vacation, my time off, I just got back from a beautiful ride. BMW has a new motorcycle out. They call it the BMW Bagger. If you know motorcycles, it's 1600cc, six-cylinder bike. Again, it's on Facebook and my Instagram. Lots of fun. But the interesting thing, I started the ride in Kansas City, and Kansas City happened to be the location of the National Biker Roundup, which could be called the National Black Biker Roundup, but it's called the Biker Roundup. But anyway, the interesting thing was I went there on Thursday, the same day that the NAACP issued a travel warning to stay out of Missouri. Hey, you could have told us. I understand the travel warning. I understand the message behind it. But basically, if you're... Sorry, I shut my damn phone off. Try to be professional. NAACP, you're right. But if I stayed out of every place that the police or there's a danger of the police targeting me based on race, I could never leave the house. Do you understand? If that was my biggest concern, I could never leave the house. So that's it. That's where I've been. That's what I've been doing. I am back. Another great thing in Montreal was I hosted the JFL Awards. They awarded Kenya Barris, Jim Carrey, Mike Birbiglia as Comic of the Year, Ali Wong, up-and-coming star, and Trevor Noah. And I've met Trevor before. Don't really know him, but we had a great time at the awards, and he couldn't have been cooler, couldn't have been classier, so I have to step up my fandom of Trevor Noah and The Daily Show. But it was really a great experience to meet all of them and hang out with all of them. And Jim Carrey's a cool guy, you know, movie star and all that, but very cool guy. One of the great things about the Comedy Festival is when you're in the green room at the Comedy Festival, we're all comics, whether you be, you know, a newcomer at New Faces or a movie star, we're all comics, and it's great to just hang out there. But okay, I'm done with that. Back to reality, unfortunately. There was another random Kelly Conway sighting this weekend, lying about something or other. Here's the thing about Kellyanne Conway. Why do they cover her? Why do they talk to her and then say she was lying? We already know she's lying. How? Her lips are moving. Kellyanne Conway is ridiculous. And this is like the relationship between CNN or the mainstream media and Kellyanne Conway, it's like some dysfunctional, abusive relationship where they're like, well, maybe she won't lie to us this time. Yes, she will. She's going to lie to you this time, and she's going to lie to you next time. You know why? Because it's what she does. It's the same way with Huckabee or Spicer or whoever's behind that podium. They're making it up. And the thing is, you know it. Now, there are those who believe it, okay? And make no mistake, there are those who believe it. I was in Missouri. I was at Sturgis in South Dakota. I've been to Florida this year. We're going to talk about Florida some more later. But if you think there aren't Trump Pence 2020 shirts around already, if you don't think there are Trump tattoos, yes, tattoos. Let me say that once again, Trump tattoos, then you haven't been to the middle of America. Because it's out there. So don't think there aren't people who believe everything these guys are saying and these women are saying. But stop interviewing. Stop giving them credibility. That's my point. If you're a real news media, you cannot talk to Kellyanne Conway. Okay? You can talk to Huckabee because that's her job to be the communication between the White House and the media. But you don't have to talk to Kellyanne Conway. And am I the only one seeing a lot of apocalypse now with Trump just retreating into the White House, sending out crazy messages? Did I say the White House? I meant the golf course. That's where he operates from. So there's that. Now, obviously, the big story today, and by the time you hear this, there'll be three more big stories, but it was yesterday, Trump saying that we're going to release fire and fury on North Korea. Going some bit fire. I know, I don't do a Trump impression. I just do my standard redneck idiot impression because that's all I hear when he talks. Listen, here's the thing with Trump and Kim Jong-un. What, can't these two just go fight it out somewhere? Can't they just, like, we pick a neutral country? Okay, like Guam. You know, Kim Jong-un said he wants to attack Guam. So they go to Guam and just fight. The old man versus the crazy. You figure out which one is which. And leave us alone. This is so annoying. You know, when Trump says something like this, now it's like 2 weeks ago when he said, you know, the police should beat up minorities as they arrest them. You know, maybe you shouldn't protect their head when you shove them in the car, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's like, just kidding. And of course, that's what he'll say about this and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, my hope is once again that military leaders, you know, Tillerson right now, the Secretary of State, is saying you can sleep well, don't worry about North Korea. I really wasn't worried about North Korea. How is it that North Korea, like 3 weeks ago, had a missile that couldn't make it 10 miles into the ocean, and now suddenly they're going to nuke, you know, Seattle or some shit, you know, Guam, wherever. Suddenly they're the major nuclear threat to the world. Did their technology improve that much in the past few months? You know, I whatever. Trump threatening nuclear war, whether it be directly or indirectly or undercover or whatever the hell you want to call it, is the most utterly ridiculous thing. Thank God, and I'm hoping that this is true, that we have military leaders who are so much smarter than him, who understand nuance, and who simply won't let this happen. Besides, are we really worried about being attacked by a nuke? We got Sarah Palin. Isn't she still in Alaska, keeping an eye on things? Of course, there's a solar eclipse coming, and she'll think the solar eclipse was a nuclear war, and whew, well, we could explain it to her, but that's science, and we know that that's fake news. See, that's where we're at. Science is fake, so I got nothing. Give me some time. I'm still detoxing from Canada. I'm still detoxing from intelligence, so give me some time to get back to my America standard, okay? Trump and Kim Jong-un is McGregor versus Mayweather. He's in his wrestling voice. I'm going to unleash fire and fury. This is what happens when you have the daughter of the head of the WWE running the Small Business Administration. You put him in government, and yeah, that's blah, blah, blah. Ah. So anyway, moving on, the opiate crisis, and there are so many stories, so many things going on in 3 weeks I've been gone that I can't cover them all. So now this is becoming a national crisis, and it is. But I'm not going to lie. I have a skeptic side. There's a part of this that bothers me. I've talked about it before. I'll talk about it again. When this was a crack epidemic, when crack was killing young minority people, it wasn't a healthcare crisis. It was a crime crisis. And the whole focus was, let's put these people in jail. And let's be honest, let's put these black and brown people in jail for as long as possible. And the police were shoot first, ask questions later. He's hopped up on crack. And the you know, I don't even know how much of it is true about the weapons and crack being pumped into the ghettos so people would kill each other. But it was going on. It was absolutely going on. And now, because it has become white suburban America's daughters, sons, husbands, wives are ODing on heroin and getting hooked on Oxy and so on. Now it's a health crisis. Okay, let it be a health crisis. Is anything going to be done? I don't know. Should something be done? Yeah, I'm a strong believer in recovery. Hell, I'm in recovery. 29 years. I went through the crack thing, okay? I'm one of the lucky ones. I made it out. I found sobriety, and I've been clean since then. But I'm all for that. But you know, I don't know how much the government should be involved other than if we can get a court system that will send you to recovery rather than to jail, that is a step in the right direction. When I see a story about the opioid crisis and the story has a picture of Donald Trump and Chris Christie and Attorney General Jeff Sessions with their serious face on, and I'd love to be the person who tells them, okay, you got to put your grown-up face on, you got to look serious about this. They don't give a shit. Okay, they don't give a shit. If Jeff Sessions could put you in some of his friends' private prisons, he would do it. Christie is just upset that Trump snubbed him once he got elected, and he'll pretend to care about anything. If your recovery, if your family's recovery from drug addiction, and it affects the whole family, is dependent upon these three, I wish you luck. These are people who love jail. These are people who hate healthcare. These are people who don't believe in science. These are people who generally just don't like people unless you're a rich white male like they are. And you think they're going to help you when your son is hooked on heroin? Good luck with that. Find a recovery place and get your child in there. Do it now while insurance still covers it. Are there problems with the Obamacare and the unlimited coverage and scam recovery centers? Absolutely. Try to do some research. Go to a meeting. Go to a 12-step meeting. Talk to someone in the meeting who's in recovery about what recovery place is real and try that. I wish you luck, honestly. God bless you. If your family or someone in your family is hooked on drugs, it is a horrible existence. And believe me, however painful you think it is for you, it is so much more painful for them. And they're trying to relieve that pain as best they can. You know, when I went to recovery, they said that drug addicts are looking for a cure. Okay. And they're using the drug because they don't know anything else. Recovery is an option. So I wish you luck with it, but I damn sure wouldn't depend on these clowns. You know, the story's coming out today. And again, I can't keep up with these stories. And thanks again to my friend and news follower. There's not a phone in my house that isn't going to ring in the next 10 minutes while I finish recording this. I apologize for that. Thanks to Mark Epping Jordan up in Seattle for following this news and sending me these stories, because some of it I can't keep up with. So now, according to the Times, when Trump was releasing Fire and Fury yesterday, he had the paper in front of him was about the opioid crisis, and he was supposed to be talking about that, but he'd rather start a nuclear war because, and again, I will once again quote my friend and brilliant comic Lewis Black, because why in the fuck not? I could go on and on. There's too much. Sessions, I think Sessions is out. I think now that Congress and the Senate are going on vacation, someone will explain to Trump that now's the time to fire Sessions because you can replace him without getting Senate approval. And that will probably, I'm guessing that's going to be done. You know, Russia involved in our elections and on and on. Now you got the FBI running midnight raids to seize evidence from people involved. Wow. Again, we're living in a reality show. So anything good happened while I was gone? Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something I saw that was great. So I told you I was in Kansas City. Kansas City has two museums. They're attached to each other and they're fantastic. It is the Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame and the National Jazz Museum. And they're both great. And what I saw that was great were kids at both museums. kids learning about Negro League baseball, learning about the history of baseball, the unfortunate period of segregation ended by Jackie Robinson, and what went on before and why Jackie Robinson was so much more than a baseball player, but actually a national hero, and how great some of those Negro League ball players were. Let me tell you something. Those guys were amazing. They Satchel Paige, I think when Satchel Paige went to the major leagues, he was already like 60, you know, or something like that. Josh Gibson could hit better than Babe Ruth. Yes, it's true. It's documented. Josh Gibson could out-hit Babe Ruth, hit him farther, hit home runs farther, and hit him more often. He was the first one to knock a ball out of Yankee Stadium. And because of the Negro League Hall of Fame, I can say, let's not forget it. The Jazz Museum was great. The coolest thing I saw there was they had a jazz bass player and a teacher, and they were teaching kids to count using music. And how great is that? Of course, there's a trash truck outside while I record the podcast, because I'm trying for as much background noise as possible. You guys are so patient. Thank you. I thought that was great. I was happy to see it. It gives me hope. You know, they say there's hope in the children. That sort of thing gives me hope. And then there's Florida, which will destroy all hope that you may have. So, Keith Flaug, or Flaug, I'm not sure how he pronounced it, a retired IBM executive, which is amazing to me, living in Naples, Florida, is a man on a mission. His mission, getting school boards to recognize the garbage that's in our textbooks. Yes, there's a law in Florida that will let residents challenge school textbooks. Not teachers challenge school textbooks, not educators, not people who would actually know something, just residents. Just, you know, you don't like it. So, yeah, it's the Florida Citizens Alliance. How come they always have names like that? The Citizens Alliance, the People for the American Way, the Coalition to Greater Fill in the Blank. It's always that kind of stuff. So he wants to challenge these textbooks because these textbooks are full of, I quote him, "We found them to be full of political indoctrination, religious indoctrination, revisionist history, and distorting our founding values and principles, even a significant quantity of pornography." What were these horrible books? Oh, novels like Angela's Ashes or A Clockwork Orange. There were books by Toni Morrison that were in school libraries. Oh my God, how Stella Got Her Groove Back is in a school library poisoning your children! He said, "I spent over 20 hours with a book called United States Government," which means you or I could have read it in 20 minutes. And he said that there's 80 places where the textbook was wrong, starting with the cover, because its subtitle is Our Democracy. Again, quote from Flau, "We're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic." Yeah, okay. I can't keep quoting this idiot. But anyway, he says there's a familiar argument about creationism versus Darwinism. In everyday conversation, a theory is a hunch or a guess, but that's not how scientists use it. That's because a theory isn't a hunch or a guess. Scientists don't just guess. They scientific theory is studied. They experiment. They look for it to be the same over and over. They compare samples from different places. They've learned how to carbon date things. They're scientists. What? It is amazing. This is good luck. Good luck, Florida. Okay, because now a group of idiots can get together and challenge scientists. I've read about this before. I've talked about this before. One of the downsides of the internet is it lets everyday people pretend they're experts. It discounts the expertise of actual experts. There are actual scientists who've studied the earth and know how old it is. There are actual scientists who can put together things like climate theory and show how the temperature of the earth changes over hundreds or thousands of years. There's scientists that show fossils, etc. They show that the earth has been around for millions of years, etc., etc. And these clowns read a book and say the earth is 5,000 years old and humans rode on dinosaurs and dinosaurs went extinct Why? They couldn't fit in the ark. I'm not making that up. Look it up for yourself. This is what they say. This is what they believe. Dinosaurs were extinct because they couldn't fit in Noah's ark. Why couldn't Noah build a bigger ark? And that's where hope disappeared. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Trump-Pence 2020. You think this Trump thing is bad? You think Trump is wrong? You think Trump doesn't have followers and believers? This guy wants to change textbooks, and Florida said, yeah, it's a good idea. Let's pass a law and allow any 10 idiots to get together and change textbooks. Yeah, Toni Morrison writes some fiction that, is that in a school library? Some bitch. What next? You gonna tell us slavery was bad? You some bitches? Beyond belief. I have to learn the words to O Canada. I really do. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'm back. I'm doing my best. Again, there's topics I didn't cover. I didn't get into sports this time. In baseball right now, people talk about baseball being boring. Check out the Los Angeles Dodgers, because what they're doing right now is historic. They are winning at a historic pace, and they get a lot of those wins against my New York Mets, who I love. But it's okay. It is a historic time in baseball. Baseball is not boring. Baseball is great. And these are the dog days of summer, and they're playing hard right now. Prepping for the NFL season, we've got the Colin Kaepernick controversy. Is it an organized thing to not let him play? I don't know, but maybe if he doesn't play because he's not a good football player, that's fine. But if it's because he protested police, then it's wrong. Because he was right in the protest, and he's been proven right again and again and again and again and again. I'm sorry. I'm not going back into it. This was it. I'm back. I love you. I appreciate you. In Florida, I wish you luck. Alonzo Bowden, who's paying attention? This weekend, August 11th and 12th, I'm going to be home. I'm going to be in Burbank at Flappers Comedy Club. And next weekend, I'm going to be in Cincinnati at the Funny Bone. I'm looking forward to getting out there live. Thank you for listening. Keep laughing. It's the only hope we got.